Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Apostle Crystal Lee, and you're here live with Kingdom Ambassadors Worldwide. The Company of Prophetic Intercessors session is now underway. We are encouraging the sons all over the face of the earth to rise and roar. You are the manifesting, the innovating, the creative sons of Yah. There's a divine frequency of war that's been placed on the inside of you to be released in the earth, that the earth might yield its free, the resounding for rebounding. And as your cry goes out and it's heard, heavenly hope are released in support of the words that you're speaking. Do you know that angels tend to the words of the sons? And out of the time that we're dealing with things, we just have not assigned the angels that the Father has assigned to us. We have not given them anything to do. We've not given them anything to do. And so because we've not spoken anything, they don't have anything to carry. How about that? There's a transitioning that's happening in the earth right now. The Father's changing positions for the sons. He's elevating us. He is promoting us, but that promotion is not going to come without a push. That promotion is not going to come without the process. So that change is going to first begin with us in our mentality, in our maturity. And that's the place that we're going to manage this manifestation from. Okay, so we're excited about you joining us this morning for this session. We're excited in this season of breakthrough to be partnered with you. There will be a hearing this morning, a receiving, a knowing, because this is the place that the sons divinely function from, not what we think, not what we feel, but what we know. And this is the era of the rise and the roar of the sons of Yah. It will not be denied. Every ear will hear it. Every heart will feel it. Listen, every mind will conceive it. The portals of grace and glory are open to us this morning, and we're going to hear and we're going to see all that we were born to be in the parts that we need to see it. Of course, he's given to us in portions. You know, it's not about just coming into a place. It's about continuing in a way, continuing along a path. That's what the Father's looking for us to do. And so for the next 16 days, we'll be right here experiencing uncommon victory in all the areas of our life. Because it's not just a new day, it's the next day for us. This is next day movement. This is next day manifestation. And the Father's calling us the proper identity for divine acquisition. There's something that he's after in you so that you can go after the things that are outside of you that he's already preordained for you. And it's going to begin with your identity. So we're going to declare these things today and see what the Father has to say. Good morning to all those that are coming on the line. Good morning to you. It is the Sabbath. It's the Sabbath. So happy. I'm saying Shabbat Shalom and happy Sabbath at the same time. So that's why my tongue is getting twisted. Shabbat Shalom. Happy Sabbath to all the sons all over the face of the earth. This is the day of rest that the Father has called us to. And as we are in this day of rest, may we realize all of the things that he desires to express to us. May we receive daily bread, the bread for today, that we can hear what he is saying and we'll know what to do and how to move Not going to do a whole lot of movement today. We're not going to be working necessarily in that way that we normally are working, but just laying back and allowing him to express to us and through us his desire as we're looking back over the week and assessing some things. He's calling us to some places of assessment in this season, just assessing some things and coming into some realization, into some remembrances so that we will understand how we should be positioned, what our posture should be in this season. So I'm excited to be here with you. We're going to first open up the line and say good morning, and then we're going to get into some intercession. I believe the word that the Father has through prayer that he began to express in this morning. We're going to really take the way to go, and then we're going to listen to Torah this morning because it is the habit. Well, that's my plan, is to listen to Torah this morning. We are actually in Deuteronomy chapter 7. So we're going from chapter 7, verse 12 to chapter 11, verse 25, 7 to 11, 7 to 11. So we are in Ekev, which is consequence, Ekev, which is consequence. And we're going to check that out today and see what the Father wants to say to us, what he wants to reveal to us. This is actually the 46th reading in a Torah portion. So we've read 46 Torah portions this year. Third reading in the book of Deuteronomy, and this first verse of the portion contains the meaning of the portion or the direction of the portion, which is consequence. And that word just says, then it shall come about, you know, it shall come past, right? Because I'm listening to it, cite the portion, then we're not necessarily reading from the King James Version, but we know then it shall come to pass, right? It shall come to pass because you listen to these judgments, because you hear the word of the Father and keep and do them, that Yah, your God, will keep with you his covenant and his loving kindness, which he swore to your forefathers. Man, that's a powerful position to be in, a powerful place of recognition that there's an outcome from the things that you are putting in, the things that you are doing, the time that you're putting in, the obedience, the heart and the dedication, the strength of your hands that you're putting to the work because you have heard a word. He's saying, listen, as you are doing, as a result of you doing this, keeping the judgments and keeping and doing them, not just hearing them, but hearing to do it, hearing to add here, because he said, when you don't hear to do a thing, you're deceiving yourself, because it's just the funniest thing that the mind doesn't know the difference between what's real and what's false, what's real and what's imagined. It just identifies with these places, you know. So if it's something that we're reading, if it's something that we're hearing, the mind assimilates that, but it doesn't know if we're acting on it or not. It's not there to identify the action. But the action is the thing that brings the manifestation. But often if we have it in our head, we think we have it in our hand, and that's not true. We only have it in our hand after what's in our head is activated and becomes, and you know, goes from the image to the action, okay, if that makes sense. So that's what we're looking to do this morning, to just to take the images of heaven and put them into action. This is that place that the master was in, and he's example for us. I only do what I see my Father doing. That's the express place that he was in. That's that expression of that conversation that he gave us. Good morning to those that are on the line, that are unmuted. Good morning to you. Thank you for being here this morning. Hallelujah. Absolutely. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you this morning for your work. We thank you for this day of rest. We thank you for Torah. We thank you for giving us the place that we can come to, that we can find safety, that we can find solace, that we can rest ourselves from the busyness of the week. And there is a busyness in the week. There are things that we have to do and the things that we must do. We can't negate those things that we must do, but you're calling us to a place where we would come into your rest, that we would understand what is your best for us in this season. You're calling us into that place that we can realize what you called us to and then receive of you the things that you have preordained for us to receive in that place. Father, when you woke me up this morning, the conversation was about hunger. And so this morning, as we are coming before you, we acknowledge that you are good. We acknowledge that you are the God of all gods. We acknowledge where you are seated. You're seated in a heavenly place. And we recognize your earth as the footstool. You put us here. This is where you rest your feet. And because your feet rest here, we are your feet. We are your legs. We are your arms in the earth. You've called us to have dominion in this place, even as you have dominion in the heavens. So teach us today and show us by your word, Father, the thing that you desire for us to say and to do. We thank you today that you are good and your mercy endures forever. You are the God that hears us. You are the God that sees. You are the God that knows. And even as the master taught the disciples how to express and to approach the conversation, he told them to teach our Father, to begin to talk about it being our Father. So it's not just a personal thing. Lord, deliver us from that mentality, even when we are by ourselves, that it's just about us, but it's not about we. It's our Father. You belong not just to us as a Father, but to the Son as a Father. So when we're seeking you for ourselves, we're not just seeking you for our personal gain, but for the gain of the sons, for the advancement of the family, for the advancement of the legacy. And so we thank you today, Father, for who you are. We recognize your authority. We don't take it for granted where you sit. And in no way, shape, or form do we diminish that position. We recognize this morning the holiness of your name, of everything about you. You are right. You are pure. You are holy. You are faithful. You are just. And we thank you this morning for being that you are, not just by yourself, but to us, for us. We thank you today that this is what you have breathed into us, everything about who you are, your nature, your identity, your image. Hallelujah. Your form, it's all that you have breathed into us. And so as we are moving in our day today, may we begin to identify the things that we have never seen, that we would know the things that we have never known, that we would hear the things that we've never heard, so that we will properly position ourselves, align ourselves with the word that we are hearing this morning. We thank you, Father, for the hunger this morning. My prayer is that you give us a hit that we cannot forget. We know that hunger comes from appetite, and appetites are formed by the things that touch our tongues. Appetites are formed by the things that touch us, that touch us and affect us in a way. But we know that if we have an appetite for sweets, it's because we form that appetite from something that was introduced to us. So introduce us today to your word in a way that it causes us to salivate for more, that it gives us an addiction, a divine addiction to what you are saying, to what you are doing, that it makes us addicted to your movements, addicted to how you're speaking to us, that it gives us a desire to long after you in a way that we've never longed for you before, that we would chase after this word that you have given us, that we would identify and desire to open up the word of life and begin to consume that, because we know that we don't live by what we eat in the physical world alone, but we live by every word that proceeds from your mouth, that is that which is written and that which is spoken to us. In many different forms and fashions, you speak to your sons. So this morning, we're thankful that this hunger that you're placing on the inside of us, that you are giving us this hit, that you're giving us a fix that we cannot forget, that we are coming into this place where you're overwhelming us by your power and by your spirit to download another level of hunger, another level of thirst, even as you spoke to Elijah in this position where he had gone into the cave and you said, listen, I need you to get up and I need you to eat. There are times when we are moving like Elijah, when we're running for fear, where we just want things to be over, where we're going and we're hiding, but you're calling us out of those places in this season, Father. You're calling us out of those places because we've been compromised by what we've heard. We've been compromised by things that have been spoken to us, by the people that have spoken to us, and as a matter of fact, by the adversaries that have been speaking to us. We've been compromised, and now you're calling us to rise, hallelujah, and to eat. You provide it for us. This word, you're providing for us our sustenance, our daily bread, that we might rise and that we might not only rise and eat it, but that we might go in the strength of what you've given us. Mighty God, may we go in the strength of the food that you give us. May we not just take it lightly. Hallelujah. May we not be like the Hebrew children who hated what you gave them, who hated what sustained them, who desired where they came from versus where you were taking them. We desire to go to the place of promise. And so we are thankful for this wilderness experience. We are thankful for the way that you are taking us. And we recognize that we'll have many wilderness in our lives. It won't be the first and it won't be the last. But with every wilderness experience, there's something that you have delivered us from, something that you have taken us away from, something that you have destroyed that has been trying to keep us captive. We are thankful today, whether it be in our mind, whether it be in our flesh, whatever it may be, the thing is that is trying to captivate us, your desire is your worship. And so whatever is holding us back from fully worshiping you, Father, we thank you for deliverance today. We thank you for reminding us that it is you that has brought us out. We thank you for reminding us that it is you that has brought us through. So touch our tongue this morning. Hallelujah. Even as the angel touched the tongue of your servant, because he didn't think his lips were worthy enough to speak the word that you would give. Deal with our identities. He touched his tongue to deal with his identity. He touched his mouth because he wanted to deal with his speech about not only what he would say to the people, but what he would say concerning himself. He touched his tongue. Touch our tongues this morning. Touch our mouths with the tongues that come from the fire of your throne, so we understand our life, our way. Our mouth is not our own. It's an instrument that you've made. It is the instrument that you've made for us to recreate, for us to replenish, for us to create over and over. It's the instrument that you've given us for war. May we know how to utilize the weapons of our warfare in this season, particularly our mouth. May we know when to speak and when to be silent. May we know what to say and what not to say. Give us a tongue of the learned as we wake up and our ears are tuned and hearing, ever hearing what heaven is saying, attentive to the learning of the life of victory. May we speak from that place. We thank you for this hunger, Father, that's rising in us this morning. I declare it so for every son that will hear this word today, that hunger, they will begin to hunger because you're releasing such a passion in us, such a passion for the things that concern you. By your spirit filling us again, filling us afresh, filling us anew, may it drive us to you, drive us to your word, drive us to the things that you're calling us to. The hunger may begin in our core, in our heart. In our heart, we're going to yearn for more and more of you. As you set the table with all of the things, all of the delicacies, may we ever dine with you, tasting and seeing your eternal goodness toward us. There's an eternal goodness toward your sons, and we want to see that. That's the thing that we want to run with today. You have shared with us foundational examples of how you flow throughout your word. And throughout our lives, you've given us to know some things about how you flow. We don't ever want to assume your flow. We want to know it. This is why you've given us the details and examples and life experience so we will identify where you are and where you are not. May we not be deceived in this season in any shape or form to identify you in a place that you are not. May your word speak to us, the wisdom, cry in the streets for us to hear and to understand and to identify so that we can position ourselves. We can realign so that we'll be prepared for the assignment that you're calling us to. We want to know your flow. We don't want to guess it. We don't want to assume it. We don't want to make it up. Because after we've had tutors in our life, whether it was our families or leaders that have been given to us in our immaturity, right? We weren't the ones that chose our pastors of, you know, our former pastors. We weren't that. So we're dealing with all kinds of things. We're dealing with familial issues, family as in our physical born and blood family, and family as in the units and the tribes that we were put in as we grew up. After our tutors told us what they thought you meant about the things that you were saying to us, it wasn't true. So we forgot some of the things. And now you're calling us into a season of remembrance. And these are the things that are rising in us, the things that you spoke once before. You spoke these things before. They're not new things to us. These are things that you have spoken before, but you are reminding us of what you're saying concerning it, not what the tutors taught, but what you're saying about it. So we thank you, Father, for your goodness and mercy. It's always following us. Your grace doesn't cease being amazing and sufficient for us. With your loving kindness, you continue to draw us. And like a covenant partner, you want to maintain it, the relationship, by giving it to us. You are such a loving and mindful and thoughtful and considerate partner. And this is what we love about the fellowship with you. We can always count on it. You're so transparent in everything that you do. Your transparency is just amazing. And how you communicate what you communicate to us is nothing hidden. Even when you don't share the whole thing, you share the portion that you share. It's so revealing. It's so revealing. You're considerate. You're thoughtful. You're faithful and you are true. That's you. You are committed to the forgetting of our past persons and loyal to our new. Ever becoming sonship is what you called us to. That's what you called us to. There's a daily feeding for your leading, just like you did with Elijah. We don't have to figure out what we can hear and walk out. We want to remove ourselves from that place or that ideology that we've got to figure out what you're saying to us. We don't really have to understand in totality when you speak it to us in order for us to move in it or move on it. We just want to move in it and move on it. This is Peter, you know, seeing the master walk on the water. He didn't have to identify the science of what he was doing. He didn't have to have an understanding, an in-depth knowledge of how this was happening. He heard, he saw it. And when we hear it, when we see it, we just want to become that. We don't need all the logistics on how we're going to become, but we want to assimilate what you're doing before us and what you're saying before us, what you're saying in our hearing. And as we're growing, as we're maturing, we begin to know all of the details about what you've called us to. Today, Father, we exchange our born identities for our reborn identities. We submit our way for yours, our false identities for the preordained image, whichever expresses your rulership, your dominionship, your kingdomship, the relationship between us. Thank you for giving us the feet of hinds so we are never intimidated with uneven terrains and the challenges of life. Don't change our minds. Hungry and thirsty may we be filled this morning, filled to overflowing, not just in our feeling, but in our knowing. We thank you that this is an hour that you're blowing our minds and that every promise that you made is coming to fruition. It's coming into reality for us. It's not just what we remember, it's what we're seeing now. It's what we're seeing now. Righteous hunger appetites are pushing us past our fear this morning. This righteous hunger that you're giving us, this appetite, this divine appetite, this is the thing that's going to push us past our fear, past the physical of what we've seen or what we're seeing and hearing. It's all a lie if it's opposing what you said. You know, even though it's in front of us and it's speaking to us, it's not true because it's attempting to persuade us in another direction than what you've already spoken concerning us. It's the same scenario, the same garden scenario. The adversary never has changed his MO. He may change his method, but he doesn't change his MO. He doesn't change it. It's the same thing. It's always him stepping into a place to try to prevent us from enjoying and having the ability to receive well the thing that you have provided for us. Adam was in the garden. They were there and they were receiving of you everything that you gave them. They were in a perfect environment. And here comes this persuader. Here comes this persuader to speak against what you said, to change the mindset of the environment. And it separated Adam from you. We don't want to be separated today. We want to be closer than we've ever been. This is what the hunger and thirst is for. Because you said those that hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. Will be filled. If we seek after right, we'll be filled with right. If we seek after that position, that's the position that we'll stand in. So we thank you this morning for this hunger and this thirst. We thank you. And we arrest now every thought in our head to bring it under the submission of what we've read and every word you said. May we fully realize today that whatever giant is standing before us, because we've been talking about the giant, we can pull from our collection of facts. Those were the stones. When I think about David and those stones, he was picking up the fact. When they were thinking about the fiction, he was picking up the fact. This is what I know. This is what I know. This is what I am assured of. Hallelujah. This is what I'm certain of. We're looking past the physical today, and we're arresting the things that we've heard and seen that are attempting to change our position of what you're calling us to. It doesn't matter what's standing before us, what giant things we have to face. Today, like David, went by the waters and begin to pick up those stones, those facts, that truth. May we be able to pull from our history of deliverances this morning. May we remember when we thought the sling was just a toy. When you put it in our hand, we didn't know as a child that you had given us a weapon. Now, when we looked at all the other instruments or devices or weaponry that everybody else had, we had a respect for that. We thought that was great, but you put something in our hands that as a child, we thought it was a toy. When we think of slingshot, we think toy, but it was never a toy. But it was something that you gave to a boy to train him up in, and he realized that as he was growing into a man that it was really a weapon. It was your weapon of choice. This morning, we look again. We reevaluate and reexamine things carefully. We receive of your spirit life-giving qualities that bring us into truth. We thank you this morning for the virtue for resurrection is flowing through us from your throne. There are some things that are dead, we think, things that we thought were dead, things that we thought were done, but you're resurrecting things in us that we thought we had lost, that we thought were stolen. There are things that are being resurrected and returned in this season, and we are thanking you for that resurrection and that return. You're calling us to live, not just to exist, to become, not just to be, not only to look, but to see the divine dynamic of us in you and you in us this morning. We're not dealing with you from the outside in, but the inside out. And this is the place that we're praying from. This is the place that we're staying from. The inside out. Faithful trust is the word that I heard this morning. And a trust is a separate entity that protects the interests and the assets of a person's acquisitions or their, you know, their items, whatever it is that they have. Today, Father, you are faithful trust. You're that place that we can run into. You're that strong tower. You're the trust that protects the legality of the image that you've created us to be. And so today we thank you for protecting us in this way. And we yield to that protection. We yield to that protection. Thank you for new appetites that change everything about us, both naturally and spiritually. And we repent for the appetites that we've gained that were not connected to your name. We thank you this morning for delivering us from false appetites and giving us the righteous appetite that produces righteousness, that manifests your will in our lives and in the earth and in the lives of those around us and in the environment that you've called us into, or calling us into every assignment that you call us to. The kingdom comes, and may it come with force. May it come, Father, with such an aggressive identity that it cannot be denied. We thank you this morning, and we glorify you for who you are. Not just to us, but in through us. We love you, and we appreciate you this morning. Every approach your word, may we hear what we need to hear to sustain us, to cause us to come into the posture that you're calling us to realize what we need to realize and to actualize what we need to actualize. It's not just about what we're reading and what we're saying, but about what we're becoming in this season. And we are hungry to become. We are hungry to become. Hungry to become. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Thank you, Father. We are going to go to the word this morning. I'm going to pull it up and I'm going to put it on. Guys, go ahead and take your notes, get your notes, pick up pens, and let's collect this data, this information that's going to bring us reformation for transformation. We need to collect the data. Again, the portion which is consequence and found in Deuteronomy chapter 7, it's going to start at verse 12 and go to chapter 11, verse 25. Now.
And because you listen to these rules and keep and do them, the Lord your God will keep with. And because you listen to these rules and keep and do them, the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the steadfast love that he swore to your fathers. He will love you, bless you, and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, your grain and your wine and your oil, the increase of your herds and the young of your flock, and the land that he swore to your fathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your livestock, and the Lord will take away from you all sickness. And none of the evil diseases of Egypt which you knew will he inflict on you, but he will lay them on all who hate you, and you shall consume all the peoples that the Lord your God will give over to you. Your eyes shall not pity them, neither shall you serve their gods, for that would be a snare to you. If you say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt, the great trials that your eyes saw, the signs, the wonders, the mighty hand, and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out. So will the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you were afraid. Moreover, the Lord your God will send hornets among them until those who are left and hide themselves from you are destroyed. You shall not be in dread of them, for the Lord your God is in your midst, a great and awesome God. The Lord your God will clear away these nations before you little by little. You may not make an end of them at once, lest the wild beasts grow too numerous for you. But the Lord your God will give them over to you and throw them into great confusion until they are destroyed. And he will give their kings into your hand, and you shall make their name perish from under heaven. No one shall be able to stand against you until you have destroyed them. The carved images of their gods you shall burn with fire. You shall not covet the silver or the gold that is on them, or take it for yourselves, lest you be ensnared by it. For it is an abomination to the Lord your God, and you shall not bring an abominable thing into your house and become devoted to destruction like it. You shall utterly detest and abhor it, for it is devoted to destruction. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. You shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. The Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. The nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan today, to go in to dispossess nations greater and mightier than you, cities great and fortified up to heaven, people great and tall, the sons of the Anakim whom you know, and of whom you have heard it said, who can stand before the sons of Anak? Know therefore today that he who goes over before you as a consuming fire is the Lord your God. You will destroy them and subdue them before you. So you shall drive them out and make them perish quickly, as the Lord has promised you. Do not say in your heart, after the Lord your God has thrust them out before you, it is because of my righteousness that the Lord has brought me in to possess this land, whereas it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out before you. Not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart are you going in to possess their land, but because of the wickedness of these nations, the Lord your God is driving them out from before you, and that he may confirm the word that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness, for you are a stubborn people. Remember and do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day you came out of the land of Egypt, until you came to this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord. Even at Horeb, you provoked the Lord to wrath, and the Lord was so angry with you that he was ready to destroy you. I went up the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant that the Lord made with you. I remained on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water. And the Lord gave me the two tablets of stone written with the finger of God, and on them were all the words that the Lord had spoken with you on the mountain out of the midst of the fire on the day of the assembly. And the At the end of 40 days and 40 nights, the Lord gave me the two tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant. Then the Lord said to me, Arise, go down quickly from here, for your people whom you have brought from Egypt have acted corruptly. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made themselves a metal image. Furthermore, the Lord said to me, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stubborn people. Let me alone that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven. And I will make of you a nation mightier and greater than they. So I turned and came down from the mountain, and the mountain was burning with fire, and the two tablets of the covenant were in my two hands. I looked, and behold, you had sinned against the Lord your God. You had made yourselves a golden calf. You had turned aside quickly from the way that the Lord had commanded you. So I took hold of the two tablets and threw them out of my two hands and broke them before your eyes. And I lay prostrate before the Lord as before, 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water, because of all the sin that you had committed in doing what was evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure that the Lord bore against you, so that he was ready to destroy you. The Lord listened to me that time also. The Lord was so angry with Aaron that he was ready to destroy him. I prayed for Aaron also at the same time. And I took the sinful thing, the calf that you had made, and burned it with fire and crushed it, grinding it very small until it was as fine as dust. And I threw the dust of it into the brook that ran down from the mountain. At Taberah also, and at Nessa, and at Kibroth Hataava, you provoked the Lord to wrath. And when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, Go up and take possession of the land that I have given you, then you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and did not believe him or obey his voice. You have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. So I lay prostrate before the Lord for these 40 days and 40 nights, because the Lord had said he would destroy you. And I prayed to the Lord, O Lord God, do not destroy your people and your heritage, whom you have redeemed through your greatness, whom you have brought out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do not regard the stubbornness of this people, or their wickedness, or their sin, lest the land from which you brought us say, Because the Lord was not able to bring them into the land that he promised them, and because he hated them, he has brought them out to put them to death in the wilderness. They are your people, and your heritage, whom you brought out your great power and her outstretched arm. At that time the Lord said to me, Cut for yourself two tablets of stone like the first, and come to me on the mountain like an ark of wood, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets that you broke, and you shall put them in the ark. So I made an ark of acacia wood and cut two tablets of stone like the first, and went up the mountain with the two tablets in my hand. And he wrote on the tablets in the same writing as before, the 10 commandments that the Lord had spoken to you on the mountain out of the midst of the fire on the day of the assembly. And the Lord gave them to me. Then I turned and came down from the mountain and put the tablets in the ark that I had made. And there they are, as the Lord commanded me. The people of Israel journeyed from Beeroth Benijaakan to Mosera. There Aaron died, and there he was buried. And his son Eleazar ministered as priest in his place. From there they journeyed to Gudgoda, and from Gudgoda to Jotbatha, a land with brooks of water. At that time the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord to minister to him, and to bless in his name to this day. Therefore Levi has no portion or inheritance with his brothers. The Lord is his inheritance, as the Lord your God said to him. I myself stayed on the mountain as at the first time, 40 days and 40 nights. And the Lord listened to me that time also. The Lord was unwilling to destroy you. And the Lord said to me, Arise, go on your journey at the head of the people, so that they may go in and possess the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it, The Lord set his heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples, as you are this day. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no longer stubborn. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and hold fast to him, and by his name you shall swear. He is your praise. He is your God, who has done for you these great and terrifying things that your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt, 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars of heaven. You shall therefore love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his rules, and his commandments always. And consider today, I am not speaking to your children who have not known or seen it, consider the discipline of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his outstretched arm, his signs and his deeds that he did in Egypt to Pharaoh the king of Egypt and to all his land, and what he did to the army of Egypt, to their horses and to their chariots, how he made the water of the Red Sea flow over them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord has destroyed them to this day, and what he did to you in the wilderness until you came to this place, and what he did to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, son of Reuben, how the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households, their tents, and every living thing that followed them in the midst of all Israel. For your eyes have seen all the great work of the Lord that he did. You shall therefore keep the whole commandment that I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and take possession of the land that you are going over to possess, and that you may live long in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give to them and to their offspring, a land flowing with milk and honey. For the land that you are entering to take possession of it is not like the land of Egypt, from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and irrigated it like a garden of vegetables. But the land that you are going over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water by the rain from heaven, a land that the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And if you will indeed obey my commandments that I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, he will give the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the later rain, that you may gather in your grain and your wine and your oil. And he will give grass in your fields for your livestock, and you shall eat and be full. Take care lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will shut up the heavens, so that there will be no rain, and the land will yield no fruit. You will perish quickly off the good land that the Lord is giving you. You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house, and when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. For if you will be careful to do all this commandment that I command you to do, loving the Lord your God, walking in all his ways, and holding fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dislodge nations greater and mightier than you. Every piece on which the sole of the foot trod shall be from the wilderness to Lebanon, and from the river Euphrates to the western sea. No one shall be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will lay the fear of you and the dread of you on all the land that you shall tread, as he promised you.
Okay, that was Deuteronomy 7, 12 through 11, 25, I believe. I'm going to kind of share some of the things that stood out to me, so I can do the same. One of the things that stood out to me in this particular chapter was love. And that conversation about love was the thing that produced blessings and multiplication. But it was a result of obedience. So obedience is connected to love. So love, blessings, and multiplication are a result of obedience. I stood out the fitness portion, you know, that when we are in these places, there are
of you in season before the Lord. You know, there was a little boy that was blind from birth, and they originally thought, you know, who was sin, and his mother, his father, or whatever. Because the reason they thought that was because generally sickness as a result of sin or idolatry or whatever we've given ourselves to other than the Father, that's where those things come from. So, like, I can use personally myself, when I was having an issue with anything physical, it was a result of me not doing what he told me to do, not necessarily an ailment or an illness, but maybe a position I didn't want to be in, you know. It was a result of me doing something opposite of what he commanded me to do, finding value in something else that was said that turned me in another direction, and now, you know, having to repent and turn back to that because that's not where I belong, and recognizing that only because of what comes of that thing. That, so, you know, when you're feeling something in your body, that's your indicator. So it's the same thing spiritually. When you identify with that indicator, you're seeing that there's something going on with you. That's also an indication of something. So it needs to be dealt with on a spiritual level, and instead of just identifying ways or means to identify or to deal with it on a natural level. A lot of times as believers, we're looking for a natural solution to a spiritual problem. So I just want to throw that out there. He spoke in this passage about consuming the people that will be given to us. You know, the word says, as for the nations for an inheritance and the ends of the earth for possession. There is a purpose that the Father wanted to establish in the earth and a position that he puts the people that he chooses in, and that's for other people to see that nation of people, not just the individuals. We get focused on just the individuals, but it is a collection or collective that the Father is interested in people seeing. And so if you'll notice that when the Master came on the scene, there was one that announced him, but that one that announced him also had disciples, so it was still a collective. But when the Master came on the scene, he didn't walk by himself. There were some things that he did, just expressing what the Father had put in him as he was growing and realizing, I believe, realizing who he was. You know, often people think, you know, maybe he just had this handle or this grip. He did know who he was at a young age. That doesn't mean he understood everything about what he was capable of. So when he's at the wedding and he turns water into wine, right, he was just activated. There was an activation that took place. You know, it's like in the movies where the superhero doesn't know that they have superpowers. They don't actually know who they are until they get back into a corner. And then they realize, oh, it's something about me. It's something different about me. I believe that was also his journey. There's nothing that we are touched with that he hasn't been touched with. So that would be absolutely impossible for him to not have walked through that place of not identifying yet with what his gift set was and what his capabilities were. So the next thing that I got out of that was that the wrong identity prevents possession. Now, when we don't have proper identity, we're preventing the possession of a thing that the Father has promised. And this is what the Hebrew children did, and we have done it often. You know, we have prevented possession. What we thought was the devil preventing us from getting the promise is really our lack of identity, our lack of understanding our identity to get to that place, because it was going to not take a place of childishness but of maturity in order to receive it. The Bible says this, that there are governors and tutors that are given, and those will be our parents, and I kind of talked about that in the prayer, people that are set over us, that give us a way to teach us a thing. It doesn't mean that the inheritance is not for us. We are the sons of the king, right? But as a child, we can't inherit all that is belonging to us because we don't have the maturity to have it. We don't have the maturity to know what to do with it, you know? So in the interim, there are governors and tutors that are supposed to be teaching us and training us how to acquisition, how to maintain, how to, you know, be in that position of authority, to be royalty. We're being trained how to be royalty, you know, where the fork goes, where the the dinner fork and then the salad fork. You know, just I'm using that as an example to discuss the etiquette of who we're to become, you know, so that when we get to the table, we're functioning a certain way, right? So the wrong identity prevents possession, which is why they didn't enter the promise, because their identity was all wrong. They didn't identify him right, and they did definitely, because of that, didn't identify themselves right. I also got to add that remembrance produces deliverance. My typing is bad here, but I remember what I said. Remembrance produces deliverance. If you can just remember where he brought you from already, you will remember that those things that he brought you through, you couldn't do by yourself either. So the thing that you're facing now is no different. If you just remember that it was him, then you'll know that it don't have to be you, you know? So remembrance produces deliverance. So this is why he kept taking him through this training. Remember that I'm the one that brought you out. Remember that I'm the one that brought water from the rock. Remember that I'm the one that parted the sea. Remember that I'm the one that drowned your adversaries in the Red Sea, okay? He had this discussion about little by little because he wanted them to know that there's going to be some things that live among you, that live around you, but they're not going to overtake you because I've given them into your hands. I've already turned them over to you. So great confusion concerning your enemies, they're going to be greatly confused, and that's going to become their destruction. Their great confusion. And then we just talked about this the other day, Prophetess Valentina, where I said, you know, there are times when, you know, who's to say, because of the times when they went places and didn't have to fight, who's to say that they were supposed to come into the promised place and have to physically fight? It wasn't even a case of just a physical fight. They needed to be armed. They needed to be prepared, you know, for whatever the Father would say. But he said here that great confusion, the enemy's great confusion is going to become their destruction. That reminds me of what happened at Jericho, right? Where they began to consume one another, where they began to destroy one another. Then he began to give them just an identity on how to handle themselves when they get in the land, because there will be things there that were left there, or there will be things there that are on your enemies. He said, don't handle the things devoted to destruction. In other words, anything that is set aside to be destroyed, if it's wearing, whatever it's wearing, whatever, all everything about it needs to be destroyed. Don't handle it. Don't want it. Don't have a need for it. We remember that it was one of, and I don't know why I keep forgetting his name. For the last year and a half, I have not remembered this cat's name. He was the one that caused them to lose the battle at AI. I'm going to pull him up real quick. I often forget, I promise you, I know his name my whole life. And all of a sudden, Achan, that was who he was. I could not remember him. But Achan did the opposite of this that he told Israel. And when I went in to dispossess the enemy, he took one of the kingly garments, he took some of the stuff, and he buried it under his tent. So that means he went into his house and dug down to hide it. He didn't dig outside of the house, which meant he already knew he had no business with it. But it was because of that thing that it caused them to lose a battle that should have been an easy battle. That's an indication of us that if we're losing easy fights, there's something in the camp. It's something amongst us. It's something within. Something buried that we need to unearth, or something we need to identify, because it's causing us to lose, causing us to lose. Let me go back. Let me go back. I kind of lost my way looking back. But I'm aching things. Hold on. Find it to you. There we go. Let me see here. Conversation. Again, go in and possess, not go in and usset. He said go in and possess because he had already told them, this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to give it to you little by little. I've already confounded your enemy. I'm telling you what not to do when you get in there concerning these enemies that are being dispossessed before you and the land that's being dispossessed before you, but go in and possess it. We like to assess things before we possess things. Okay, well, let me figure out how, you know, and this is not that moment in time. You know, the Father has allowed certain things in times past, but this is not that moment in time where the Father is like, you need I'm going to let you just go in and say, well, you know, I know you told me to go do it, but I want to just kind of review it. He's like, no, this ain't what we're doing. I need you to go in and possess. And this is why this word is so important, because it lets us know what to do and what not to do. There are things that we will understand on the other side of obedience. There are things that we will understand only on the other side of obedience. You know, when I got into the industry of trucking and I got into the transportation industry years ago, I went through some training. When I went through the training, there were things that were said to me that I did not understand until I was behind the wheel actually doing it. There was no way that they could actually make me understand what they were saying in that moment. I just had to take in the information. And then when I got in the actual position of, then I could identify the doing of the thing. It's things you won't understand until you're behind the wheel. It's things you haven't stepped out into. And so because you haven't stepped out into, there is no pavement there. There is no provision there. You're looking for the pavement to be there before you step out. And he's looking for your faith to cause you to start stepping before you see the pavement. And that's just what it is. That's how faith operates. Faith doesn't operate on the premise of what I see. It operates on the premise of who I am. So because I am, I do. Not because I see, I move. I'm going to open up the line and give y'all a chance to share some of what you're seeing, because I got a whole list of stuff here. Whole list. All right, I'm going to keep going. You can cut in when you cut in. Humble beginning. I'm going to deal with the humble beginning. Humble beginnings to bring you into promise. What were their humble beginnings? They were taken through this place called a wilderness. That was a humble beginning. He said, I brought you through that way in order to humble you. In other words, I needed to bring you into a place where you would bow, where you would understand who your worship was to. I needed to bring you into that place where you would understand where your worship was to, so that you could possess the promise and you would possess it in a way that would not be contaminated. This is why I told you what not to do when you get there. This is why I brought you through the way I brought you through. This is why I fought for you the way I fought for you, so it would humble you. This is why I at times didn't allow you to eat or drink, because I wanted you to understand where your provision came from. Most times people think if they're hungry or thirsty or they don't have, it's because the Father hates them. No, it's because he loves you and he's calling you into a place to humble yourself. If you are without something that he promised, then it's simply to bring you into a place of humility so he can bring you into a place of promise. The next thing that I jotted down was about the supernatural movement of Yah, even in this humble place, even in this this place that normally we're talking about elements. We're talking about all kinds of creatures. We're talking about environments that would have naturally degraded things. Their clothing did not wear out. He said your ankles didn't swell. Well, why is he mentioning that? Because that's a lot of walking. That's a lot of walking. And even though you're doing all of this walking and you are walking through this place where the environment is would naturally be beating down on you, but you got to remember the fire by night and the cloud by day. So one of the reasons why there was a protection was because the rays from the sun were not penetrating their clothes every day. They couldn't be torn up. They couldn't be compromised because they were covered. Man, that's the word. You can't be compromised when you're covered. They weren't swollen because they were not exhausted. Their bodies were not going through those processes of exhaustion and fatigue from the sun. Neither were they enduring the environmental cold, because a wilderness is cold at night, but the fire by night is what kept them warm. So their bodies weren't undergoing these different processes of cold and hot. So it didn't cause edema or swelling or anything in their physical bodies. It's what kept them whole. Even though these things were a part of environment, it was not a part of the environment, because he created a microcosm in the midst of this, in the midst of the earth, just to cover them. It's like he put them in a divine bubble. He put them in a divine bubble. Ooh, your teeth are pretty, grandson. Good job. You woke up and brushed your teeth? That's so smart. He put them in their own sphere, inside of the sphere that he created, to get them. He covered them to get them to the promise. He housed, he cocooned them to take them to a promised place. And they could not even honor him in the cocoon. They couldn't even honor him then. I love that he discusses that promise place, that he gives a whole breakdown, a review, an overview of that promise place. You know, you'll be digging, you could dig copper out of the hills. Like, this place is so good. Hi, baby. This place is so good. And this is what makes me think that, that this place was really the garden, because you got to think about the garden had everything that they would ever need. They didn't have to dig wells or irrigate or do any of that, even in the garden place. So even though they had come from a place, get down, mama, get down. Even though they came from a place where irrigation methods and systems were put in place, they didn't have to do that in this place. They learned those things. They learned those systems, but they were not systems that they had to use, because they were coming from a place of captivity, to a divine place. Famous. They were coming from a place of captivity where they had to work certain systems to a place that was divine, where that was not the system of that land, because the Father was providing. He was providing the rain. Now, we know in the garden that the dew came up from the ground. The water came up from under the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. In this case, he's saying, I'm going to rain on the land. You don't have to create irrigation systems. You don't need wells. You don't need all of these things, because I'm going to look upon the land. My eyes are on it. My eyes are on it because you're in it. My eyes are on it because you're in it, because I designed it for you, because I purposed it for you, then my eyes are on it because you're in it. Man, thank you, Holy Ghost. Review the promised place made, he had to remind him of what was there. So he reminded him what he said, take heed of yourself. You know, check yourself. Basically, before you put yourself, check yourself. Keep yourself in check. Because when you come into the promise, what you don't want to do is forget that I brought you there. What you don't want to do is forget, and then your heart be lifted up and thinking that you did something. That's that self mentality, that me mentality again, that we have to make sure that we get away from. Because this goes, I'm going to go back to that place where there's a discussion about the things that we're not to touch, that that are possessions of the enemy, the things that are meant for destruction. So this goes hand in hand with the things that are meant for destruction, because a lot of the sickness, a lot of the issue that people are having is a result of touching the things that are meant for destruction. You're trying to do things the way the world is doing them. So whatever you are doing, do you know that there are things as such things as talismans and all kinds of different little articles that the enemy attaches himself to, right, to attack, to make himself available in an environment. He can attach himself to stone. He can attach himself. And that doesn't mean that all stones are bad, but it depends on what a thing is being used for. And if you see people putting crystals, I love the, I tell you, I love everything that the Father created, the different aggregates, the different stones, the different materials and metals and things. And those things have different properties for different purposes, but not for wearing as a prevention for something. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It's the Father that protects us. You could never wear a stone to protect you from something. You could never wear a stone to ward off something. That's a whole nother lane. I'm on the radio. You could never wear a stone to protect yourself from something. That's the Father's job, is your protector. He is your protector, not the stone. So this is what he's talking about when we talk about that self-mentality, thinking that your hands did something, thinking that you did it. I love that he said, it's my power and my might. I love that he said, he's the one that gives us the power to get wealth. We don't get it because we just, you know, we just cut like that. We just got it like that. No, it's him that gives us. He gives us. He authorizes it. It's him that gives us the power to get wealth through witty inventions and ideas, all these different things. In their case, he gave them the power to get wealth by dispossessing nations and dispossessing the wicked cultures and that kind of thing. By even beginning to dispossess, their first dispossession was that of Egypt, right? They overthrew Egypt's wealth by taking it with them. He gives us the power to get wealth. He said, "Hear, O Israel, you are today to go in to faith. You are today to go in. You're today to go in and to face those that are stronger, that are mightier." But I love this because he didn't choose any of those other nations as his own. He chose the thing that seemed the weakest to make it the strongest in the earth. You know, the word says that he said he uses the simple thing to confound the wise. He doesn't need anything that already has muscle. He'll take a thing that's scrawny and build muscle in it. He'll take two fish and five loaves. This is what we were talking about the other day, Prophetess Vontina. And you're looking like, what? You going to feed 5,000? Who? Right? You know, take a boy. He don't need what you think he needs to do what you think he going to do. It's the same with the conversation we're having about Elijah and his servants coming down to the water, because he wanted him to realize that he was giving him a position of realizing and declaring so that the thing could be. He was training him prophetically that you're going to need to see what the Father is saying, not what you think you ought to see in order to see what he's saying, but to see what he's actually saying. So if he says rain is coming and I'm sending you to go see the sign of the rain and you think it's insignificant, then you won't say it because you don't see it as significant. But if you can see it as significant, what he's saying, and you begin to declare it, then the rain will come. That's when the rain will come. Listen, the line is still open. You can jump in at any time. He said, my power and my might, and we have scripture for that. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith Yah, right? Knowing that he's the one that gives us the power makes us humble. It's what makes us yield to him. It's what makes us lean into him and to identify what he's saying so we'll know what to do. There are a lot of ideas, a lot of vision, a lot of plans that, you know, he shows to us. But we have to identify our expectations. Okay, Father, show me, position me in the hearing the right thing, connected to the right people, so that I'll know what to do with this that you're showing me. What should I see in order to become, right? What should I see in order to know how to make this become, how to put my hands to it to do it, you know? All right. So it says here, after he says, here, O Israel, and reminds them that he's sending them into a place that they've got to face some things that are stronger, he said, but his promise is overthrow. Look, I've already given them into your hands. You've already seen this process. I've already done this time and time again, so this is not a new place for you. It's a repeat. So in the repeat, you don't retreat. Are you hearing me? In the repeat, it's not a time to retreat. It's a time to go forward and to do the thing that you're being commanded to do, because it's a promised place. It's not a retreat. It's a repeat. So once you see that repeat, you already know that he's already done it before, so he will do it again. Right? There's the reminder that, listen, this is a place that's really important, because remember, he's given us his righteousness. So we're not right in and of ourselves. We're right when we receive. We're right when we receive his right. Did you get that? That's what righteousness is. Our willingness, our humility to receive, to relinquish what we think is right and receive his right is what righteousness is ultimately. That's what it is. That's what it is. Cheese. Our righteousness is our willingness to receive his right, knowing that we are ultimately wrong and he's right. Receiving that right is what makes us righteous. Okay? This is what I love about this. He said, it's not because you're right, but because they're wicked. Did you get that? It's not your righteousness that's making me cause you to come into this place, but because they're wicked and they're defiling the land. So because my name is on you, I'm trusting the relationship that because my name is on you, then there's something in you that you're conceiving, that you are knowing and believing that when I bring you into a place, you will restore. See, it's the garden all over again, replenish. You know, all of this stuff around Adam outside of the garden was not looking like the garden. The Father began to put some things in order, and then he gave a responsibility for the man to go ahead and continue the work. It's the same thing that the master did when he came. He said, okay, finish the work. I started a thing now. You see how I did it? Now do that. The same thing. It's the same thing. Get down, Fang. Get down. You wet. Yeah, it's the same thing. So the promise is not for us to retreat, but because of the, we should know what to do. And because we've already seen this in the scripture, a lot of the things that you're sharing with us, we've seen before,
throughout scripture. Now, we understand it. There's no reason for us to run, right? We need to run to, not run away from what the Father is calling us to. He said here in another part, after he said that it's not because you're so right, but because they're so wrong, right? It's not because you're right, but because they're wicked, that they're being driven out before you. He said the promise is not given because you're right, but because you're chosen, right? Not because you're right, but because I chose you. And because I chose you, then I'm going to make you right, and I'm going to set you up, and I'm going to put you in a place. It's the same dynamic. It's the same dynamic. There are a lot of women in the world, you know, but when a man chooses a wife, he's not choosing her because she's the only choice, the only thing that could have been chosen. It's because it's his choice. Does that make sense? And because it's his choice, he puts his name on it. Because it's his choice. And he's going to make sure that everything concerning her is well. Right? And she's going to represent. See, it's the dynamic of the marriage. She's going to represent him in a way that brings him honor, that brings him glory. Right? As he protects and provides. And it's a dynamic. It's the marriage dynamic all over again, right? The promise is not given because we're right, but because we're chosen. Man, that's so powerful to me. Because you oftentimes, based on how religion teaches us, see, this is why it's important to know, one, that you're chosen and to walk in that place, right? To walk in that fellowship with him, because there are things about us every day that are being changed, things about us every day that are being rearranged, things about us that we didn't know that are coming up. I was sharing something with somebody one day, I think it was the day before yesterday, and I had not shared that with anybody, but I was sharing it with them because of how, you know, how they're positioned and who they are to me, right? But it kind of blew my mind thinking of it again, that it was something I would have never thought I would do. It was strange. It was different. But I had done this thing, right? And it made me think about how the Father, you know, sees us, because I had done a thing because of my compassion for someone. Of course, they were not in a position to receive that level of compassion, but I was doing a thing out of pity, you know, out of compassion for someone, and they weren't in a position to receive it. But I was thinking about in that how the Father sees us, and he's like, okay, let me just go ahead and do that. He's not doing it because we're right. He's not doing it because we earned it. He's not doing it for any of that. He's doing it because he loves us. He's doing it because he sees us, and he doesn't like the position that we're in. So you don't have to. I was crossed by something last night, and this leader threw me way off, because while he's preaching, he's saying all these things that are really good. They're good things. But then he veers off into this dynamic of, you know, that the Father was teaching him how to teach the people how to give. Okay, no problem. That's a good thing, because I've walked through that process with the people, you know, how to give and giving them, you know, identity on things and all that. But I can't tell you what to give. Nowhere in the scripture do I see any place where the Father healed people or restored them or gave them wealth or gave them elevation or prosperity or promotion based on their financial ability. Nowhere. As a matter of fact, in Israel, he didn't make a difference between the poor and the rich. He, besides the fact that at some points he said, well, if you don't have, this was further along though, because, you know, people were doing all kind of different things. So some people maintained wealth and other people squandered it. So at that point, there were some differences made. But in the beginning, he was just like, this is what I need. I need a calf of this age. I need a pigeon of this age. I need a lamb of this age. This is how you atone. This is the atonement, you know. And so, okay, let me go here, because this is where I was really wanting to go. When it came to the half shekel, you remember the half shekel? We talked about this. When it came to the half shekel, there was not a conversation about, okay, rich get more, this is more. That wasn't fair to say. It was everybody gets half shekel. Why? Because those halves, when they come together, they make a whole. He wasn't distinguishing the rich over the poor under the rich. He was distinguishing as a unit. And y'all need each other in order to come to the place that I'm calling you to. You understand what I'm saying? So let's look at this. He said, it's because you're chosen. And so because I chose you, then my eyes are on you, then I'm navigating you into the place that I'm calling you to. It's not going to be because you paid me, but it's going to be because you worship me. It's going to be because you bow.
It's going to be because you humble yourself. Now, humility in our case might be a number of things, but it's not going to be because the leader told you to give 4,000. And if you give this 4,000, I heard it twice yesterday. And it was so vexing because I'm like, this is what people love, though. They love to be told by a super apostle, you know, if you give this, then God going to do this. You know, there are some things that if this, then that. But it ain't the money. It's not the money. It's not the money. No, it's not you giving an offering. It's not the money. It's the heart of the thing. It's the positioning. It's the posture. The promise is not given because we're right, but because we're chosen. So there are some things that you're forbidding yourself to possess because you don't feel like you're right for it, or you don't feel like you have done enough to deserve it, or whatever those things are that bring you into that place of false identity. Your real identity is chosen. Identify with that today. Your identity, the identity that you should be beholden to, is chosen. Yep. If you identify with that, then everything else going to fall into place. Chosen should be your identity. If you identify with that, then you position yourself to be able to receive. You put yourself in a position where you reject the promise, because this is what they did. They got all the way up to Kiriath-Jearim, right? Kiriath-Jearim, and he said, go in. And they said, no way. So you went through all of this to get to the promise, for him to say, go in, and you say, no way. You know what? No way, because there are things over there that could devour us. You know, way, because there are things over there that are stronger than us. No way, because we just came out of captivity. We're not trying to go into another captive situation. No way, because we don't see ourselves the way that you're seeing us. We see ourselves as something smaller. No way. The promise is not given because we're right, because we're strong, because we got it all together, but because we are chosen. I'm going to identify with chosen today more than I'm going to identify with anything. I believe that's the place that I'm identifying with more than anything in this season, and this is why the windows, the doors, the gates, everything is opening to us, because we are identifying as chosen, not trying to be right to receive. And I'm not saying that you don't have a responsibility, but understanding that we are receiving because we're chosen, and because we're chosen, and that desire to be right is there, to do right is there. Only thing I could give you an example of is in the movies, and I use this example often, where somebody saves a person's life, and because their life was saved, now they feel indebted to them. They didn't save their life because they knew everything about them and they felt like they were such a good person and all. No, no, no. They just saw someone in need, someone in a position, and they said, oh, no, we're not doing that. So they stepped in front of the bullet. They, you know what I'm saying? And in doing that, it afforded us the ability to reciprocate. You know, that should be the desire. That should be the position of the heart, reciprocation. Ooh, all right, let me show you what else I saw there. I saw Moshe, and I've seen this before, but I want to bring this to your attention. So while people are thinking that is, you know, fasting is hard, fasting is dangerous, I should say, you know, whether it's juicing, dry fasting, water, you know, people say, oh, it's dangerous. You listen to these lies that people tell you about things being dangerous when it's a necessity in a lot of cases, both from a natural perspective and a spiritual perspective. Fasting is of necessity. Moshe, I know for certain, did 80 days dry. He did 40 on one hand and then 40 in another. Now, I'm not sure if there was a third 40. I'm going to look at it again because, you know, I heard something, but I do know that Deuteronomy is a book of reiteration, so it's a repeat. So it could have been talking about one of the other 40s, but I'm going to look at it again just to verify. But I know he did it twice. He did it more than once. And if fasting could kill you, he'd be dead. Okay? I know people that don't have no divine spiritual connection that fast like this. Okay? If fasting could kill you, they'd be dead. Now, your body will give you, you know, where your limits are. And you notice that at 40 days and 40 nights, the master was hungry, okay? The body was saying, okay, now it's time to shift gears. It's time to go into another place. Now, I'm not saying that originally that he might not have hungered the first couple of days, because during the first 2 or 3 days, sometimes 4 for people, that's when you're the hungriest, right? But after that, you don't even feel hungry no more. But when you get to your point where, girl, little girl, bring me that. When you get to your place where your body is informing you that it's time to shift gears, then you'll feel the hunger again. You laughing at me back there. Little girl, what's your name? Right. Yeah, your body will tell you. Not your mind, but your body will tell you. Your mind will tell you that you don't need to do it. Your mind will tell you to just keep going the way you're going. But your physical body will even tell you it's time to shut it down. You know, it's crazy because even animals understand when they're not well that they need to shut it down. A dog that's sick will go by him so he won't eat anything. He will eat some grass, but then he'll go sit down and wait it out. He'll wait it out until he's restored. He won't keep doing what he does every day. He'll wait it out until he's restored. And I believe that's a solution to a lot of our pollution, is the fact that we need to understand to go into that place of fasting and to wait it out until we're restored. The master said it like this: these kind. It's some these kinds in the lives of sons. It's some these kinds that we deal with. And those kinds only come out by prayer and fasting. How do you think that the Hebrew children were able to overcome the enemies they overcame? Because the Father took them through fasting. They fasted at times. They didn't want to. This is why they were complaining. He wasn't trying to starve them. He was trying to deal with their flesh. He was trying to deal with their flesh that they didn't want to be dealt with. They didn't want to be dealt with. So I'm not sure. I know for some 80 days was dry, and I'm going to look out that next word that I heard. But at that time, when he was doing that, I want to go through doing before getting to the land. See, this is what I said. You weren't called to the promise because you were right, because now he's given all the scenarios. You wasn't right. You burned the blessing. You burned the blessing. Where's that thing? Yeah, you burned the blessing. I'll probably mention it again because I wrote it down somewhere, where you take the blessing and you begin to burn it to create another thing. They burned the blessing. He said, you'll be able to hew copper out of the mountains. You know, I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to give you what you need. They had what they needed, and they took what he had given them that they would need, right? We knew that he would have need of it because he required some of it to build him a place. Right? Let them make me a sanctuary, a place where I'll dwell amongst them, right? They took the blessing and burned it to build something that they could believe in. They took the blessing and burned it to build something that was believable to them, something that they could see. So he's saying, listen, I didn't call you to the promise because you were right, but because you were chosen. Because even after you did the golden calf incident, even after all of those incidences in the wilderness where Baal Peor, where the Midianites persuaded you and you was in this place worshiping their gods, after all the things that you did, after all the complaining, after all of the provocation, you know, that you did against me, that you murmured against my sons and you tried to overthrow the leadership and all of that, after all of that, I still brought you to the promised place. Man, this make you think about some stuff. You've been denying yourself the promise, thinking you wasn't worthy of it, but you didn't understand because he chose you, you were worthy. But because of sin, you could not identify chosen and get in the right posture and position to manifest that thing. You denied the blessing when you got to it. So if a thing is spoken and it don't resonate with you, you don't see the process, you don't understand how it could go from this to that. He said, shall a nation be born in a day? He said, I can birth a nation in a day. I can bring rivers in the desert. I can bring mountains low and valleys high. What is it but a notion for me to bring your healing or the commotion of your body to a whole place in a matter of moments? Say, no, I've been dealing with this process or this pressure or this issue for this many years. It runs in my family. He's like, what does that have to do with me? You're getting to the promise. I'm telling you this is what I'm going to do, and you tell me, no, I don't see that. I don't believe that. I don't receive that. So you have what you say, right? You have what you say, which is what happened with the children of Israel. They had what they said. You brought us in the wilderness to kill us. Now understand, even though they said that, he still took them to the promise and said, go in. Now, I'm ignoring the stupidity. Go on in there. And they said, no way. No way. They couldn't receive it. They had said they had had such negative chatter amongst themselves and with themselves that they could not even change their minds about what they were visualizing at this point. Okay, you need to see it. I'm going to take you to it. So I'm taking you to it. There it is. Walk in it. You're right at it. Go ahead. Look over in it. Can't receive it. Couldn't receive it. Okay? So rebelling against the promise because of unbelief. This is a part of these notes. Rebelling against the promise because of unbelief. And why do I tell you guys to take notes when you're listening to Torah? Because it's things that are going to stand out to you. And if you're taking notes and you're jotting down as much as you can, it's the way that you're going to put it to paper that's going to matter. It's the way that he's using your personality, your information, who you are and all of that to funnel through you this word that he's speaking to you. Is that toothpaste on the carpet? Man, take this to mommy. Using that to get a message to you. It's coming through you to you. Take to mommy. Thank you, famous. Through you to you. I understand that's a real thing. Speaking through you to you. Writing to you through you. Ooh, the rewriting by the hand of Yah, that stood out to me. That the first time the father wrote it, but he also gave him the stones. But the second time he had to hew the stones himself. I'm talking about Moshe in the mountain, that second 40 days and 40 nights. He had to hew the stone. In other words, get the stone himself, you know, dig it out himself. And the father rewrote what he had already wrote. You know what my prayer is today? That the father rewrite what he already wrote, that he restate what he already stated to us. When I'm talking about the writing, I'm not talking about just the physical, but I'm talking about the spiritual conversation. The conversation, may it be rewritten in our hearts today. May we re-realize it, reimagine it, re-see it. You know, everything is a re again. May we see it again. May we hear it again. May we know it again. May we realize it again. May he affirm it again. You know, he spoke it once, and the first time we kind of squandered that, and so this time we had to hew the stone out ourselves. But he's yet the God that writes on the tablet to settle things in stone. Mm-mm-mm. His only desire is that we fear him and walk in his ways, that we follow the commands and the statutes. The other thing that stood out to me was about love. Love is a choice. We've been trained in the false feeling of love most of our life. We've been trained to believe that if we feel a certain way that is love. I know people today that believe that they love people that they never love, that you just felt some kind of way. You were touched in your feelings, and your feelings, your false feelings, cause you to identify with certain relationships or certain people. I can say that for myself. It wasn't love. I didn't love those people. There was a feeling, a false sense of something that was provided in that relationship dynamic that gave me a sense of feeling something. It wasn't love, though. No, I know that, you know, that may be the thought because love was falsely taught. But love is actually a choice. And I love the fact that the Father chose to love us. He said, I set my heart upon your fathers. That means I made a choice to love them. Listen, don't mishandle the opportunity to be a leader. Remember when you were a slave. That was the second thing. Because all of this is connected to love. You got to choose these things. Because you choose love as a leader, then you can choose to not mistreat people even though you were mistreated. Right? You can do for people when nobody did for you. Because that's the place that love operates from. But I love this fact that love is a choice. And that regardless of how he was moved in his feelings concerning the people, he yet loved them because he had set his love upon those that they came from. I also love the fact that love has a limit. I know y'all want to hear that. Love has a limit. He said, I may love you, but I'm going to have to destroy you. He told Moshe, move out the way. Let me go ahead and destroy these because I'll start all over with you. I'll make you a mighty nation. Your love has a limit. Yeah, he did not love them anymore, but his love, because of love, love does certain things. Love expresses a certain way. But love has its limit. And this is why we have to choose wisely who we love. Love is not the feeling. Love is a choice. And if I'm making a decision to love something or someone that's bringing me harm, I need to unlove that thing. I need to not put that thing in that position. I need to not release that kind of love on that thing because it is not reciprocal. It is not helpful. It is not helpful. You understand what I'm saying? Love is a choice. And I love that the Father exemplifies that for us. Even he exemplifies that. You know? He said, listen, you've gone from 70 persons to people that can't be numbered, to people that can't be numbered. So consider Yah's greatness today. He said, consider the signs and the wonders, my deliverances. Remembrance is the foundation for victory. It is what David functioned from, remembrance. He remembered what he had done with the lion and the bear. He remembered how he had delivered the sheep. He had remembered all of those things. And in remembering that, he was not afraid to stand before this thing. He was not afraid to stand before this thing that appeared bigger than him because those things were bigger than him. And he knew that it wasn't him that did that alone, but he knew that it was him, his Father, that had given him the strength through his worship to be able to overcome those kinds of things. So you're not entering the land, he said, that you'll have to work hard in. This is what I believe that we're at. This is where I believe that we're at. You're not entering the land or a land that you'll have to work hard in. This is why I believe that this place was the garden. I believe that the Father is bringing us to our garden place, not in a literal sense, but in a figurative sense. We're not entering into a time where we'll have to work hard for this toothpaste. We're not entering into a place where we're going to have to work hard. There's going to be some work, but it's not going to be hard work. You understand what I'm saying? This is why the Father has given us instructions, commandments, statutes. All of this is about the acquisition of the thing that he's calling us to. All of this is about acquisitioning and maintaining the promise. The garden didn't require irrigation. The Father caused it to flourish. And I believe that in this season, there are some things that you're not going to have to establish all the systems that you think you're going to have to establish. There will be things you have to establish because you're going to have to manage your inheritance well, right? However, it's the Father that's going to cause things to flourish in a season, cause it to flourish. So take it to yourselves. Take it to yourselves. The line's open. If you have something you want to share, please feel free to share this. I'm going to turn the line over to the elders and to the prophets. Go ahead and share. Somebody needs to hear your voice this morning. I'm going to go on mute for a moment, believing that you guys are stepping in.
Good morning. Good morning. Good
morning, Elder.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, for me, I keep muting myself I can let you talk.
For me, even going back to the prayer before the line came on, it went back to this. I wrote it down. The scripture about keeping his statutes. And even throughout, as you've been talking, that's basically what you're saying, keeping the statutes. And then even in 8:20, in the reading, it says something about the statutes. And even what you were just saying, obeying his word and you know, following the Father, that there's benefits for it. And that's basically what I heard before we got on the line. And then even in your praying and throughout as you've been speaking and even in the reading of the Torah, that's what was coming. That's what was focusing more on me is keeping the statutes. And I just believe from my own lifestyle that I've been living and doing the best that I can and listening and following him, that in doing what it is that you're led to do by the Father, that is great benefits. I can say that as far as my health, where I'm feeling a lot better. I went through stages of some medical things going on, which they was like a rodeo up and down. But just in getting more in tune with the word and trying to follow his word the best to my ability, I see a big change in my life. So my words would be to everybody that's listening is get into his word. And even when you don't understand it, keep reading it and ask him to give you understanding or put somebody in your life that can help you even get a greater understanding. Because even by way of conversations, like I was in conversation with somebody yesterday, and it's so funny how I had to say, you know, had we not even talked about this or even brought it up, it opened up a whole new avenue for this person and something that they was trying to do, even as small as something in your house, something they were trying to redo at their house, and they tried it one way, it didn't work. And after I came there, I said, well, did you try flipping it the other way? And just talking about it, it came about a whole new situation that I believe is going to work. We'll know today. But I just believe that if we continue in his word, studying and reading it and just going to him and asking him, because he's going to bring somebody a song or something to somebody that's going to give you the clarity once you ask him for it. So that's what I got out of it.
That's good, Elder. That's real good. Yeah, it just takes that one little thing, you know, that one little conversation. One, it could be a song, like you said. It could be anything, but you got to be in tune to even be able to hear it, you know. You got to be connected to be able to receive that thing, you know. If you don't see value in it, it takes me back to the Elijah situation with his servant when he goes down to the water and he tells him, go back. He sends him back 7 times. Why? Because he needed to see that what he saw was not insignificant. It was actually the manifestation. If he had in his mind that rain is going to come because the whole sky is black, he's messed up, because the Father can do it any way he desires. He can make it happen any way he chooses. And if we get beholden to what we have already realized or what we know to be true, then we're not open to what he really wants to do. We're just open to what we believe is what he wants to do, you know, instead of asking or inquiring. It's the same thing that got Abraham in trouble. He stopped inquiring. Okay, God, what's next? As long as he was saying what's next, he got the next direction. But the moment he stopped saying what's next, him and Sarah start coming up with all these cockamamie ideas, you know?
Absolutely.
Now you open and now you conceiving something that wasn't even supposed to be conceived, you know? But okay, this is the process. So say we say things like, okay, so like he's about to take me in a direction that I'm not familiar, but I'm going to go anyway, right? I'm giving you a heads up that I'm not familiar. So I'm not saying this from a place of my intelligence. I'm saying this from a place of the spirit, because I've heard something said before about this. Okay, everything is born. Everything has a purpose. It does. However, there are things that should have never been born, never been created. So if I'm trying to do this the best way I can, we can't say because we created something that it should have been because God allowed it. But because we follow the process and this system is set up this way that it came into being, if that makes sense. So Ishmael, right? He had a purpose, but his purpose was antagonized because the Father knew that Abraham was going to miss the mark. And if he didn't have this antagonizer based on this thing that he had created himself, then he would never get to understand what the promise was, and that the antagonization or that thing that was created before the promise had to go. This is showing us how to make a difference between things. See, he'll take whatever it is. That's where I'm getting to. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Because I was like, I don't know where you're going with this, Father. He said, I'll take whatever it is. He said, no matter what it is, I'll take it and make it work for your good.
Yeah.
I'll take it and make it work for you.
I just told somebody that I really love dearly just yesterday that I looked at him and I said, you know, now I'm looking at you. I don't know if you take time to look in the mirror, but the you that I'm seeing right now, that's not the you that I know.
Right.
I said, so it's time. It's time to make a change. God is so great. He allowed me the time, just a few minutes, enough to say what was needed to be said. And it was just so graceful how he brought it out. And I said, just look, I remember times when I would come and take you to the barbershop, take you to do, just to show you as a young person that you need to, there's certain things as a young man that you should do. And I did it then. I mean, he was young then. And I said, look at this. What's all this? He said, well, I don't know. Maybe I'm going to try to grow a beard. I said, well, if you're going to do that, go get that shaped.
That's right. That's
right. Go get it shaped. Just because you've grown it don't mean that you're supposed to look like that. I said, go get it shaped then. It's not that you don't know, because I know what I put in you to do.
Come on now.
I know what I put in you to do. And then I used another person dear to me as an example. I said, now, just like I used to say this to him, but look at now when you see him. Very rare do you see him with, you know, is some type of line. You know what I mean? I said, and you gotta love yourself enough to do that. I said, now, how are you gonna do it? I said, it's time. You got people that's looking at you. You have a child. You have a younger sister. You got people that's looking at you. So you got to start. And don't say I'm going to do it tomorrow. No. Go in there and start now. Before I left, he went in the shower. So, you know, God is good. Sometimes you just have to plant that seed. And it ain't got to be all that deep, you know, because even something I had posted yesterday, because I just do how I do. But then I had this, after I put it, I just was writing. And then after I put it, I heard the Father say, well, that's okay. You can. And I went back and I took some of it out. Because when you always bring it, I'm not saying leave the Father out. Please, nobody misunderstand me. I'm not saying leave the Father out. But your actions will show him coming through you. Because sometimes just when people see that something they're doing, then that's to them, because that's not where they're at yet. Yet is the key word, yet.
Yeah.
Then they shun away from it. They shun away from it. So we as believers and sons, we have to learn that, like you said earlier, something about love. It's all in love. Because see, if a person's not, And everybody's not where you're at. I struggled with that for a long time. Everybody's not where you're at. So you got to allow the people that's not where you're at to catch up.
Yes, that's so good.
It's just a matter of giving a beautiful conversation that's going to show where you are loved. And if you bring that out, just you being you, that's him shining through you. So I'm learning that too now, you know. It's not everything got to be so deep. Because if you're doing the right thing and living right anyway, your light going to shine anyway. Because those that know you, they're going to see a difference. Period.
That's a fact, Elder. And that's such a good point to make, because love is going to be patient. Love is going to be kind. Love is not going to vaunt itself. It's not easily provoked. It's just what it is, you know? It's not provoked. That's why the Father could say, you provoked me these 10 times. You see how many times it took before he's like, I'm about to kill him. I gotta take him out, because this is hindering the progress of the promise. You know what I'm saying? I gotta, and this is why I'm saying love is a choice. You know, it's a choice. If you choose to love, then you gotta choose to be patient. You gotta choose to be kind. It's just the way that love functions. The way that love functions.
And you know, Pastor, even as I was talking to this person, because another person saw me, then they came in and just sat down and just was listening. I was like, wow. And even as you were just saying that about love being patient and kind, like, you know, they just listening. Like I said, you have other people. We all have somebody watching us. That it means a lot on what, how you say and what you do. It means a lot. You know, it means a lot. And that scripture, I love it. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is meek and all that. I love that scripture. I don't know it all by heart. But I know the one you're talking about. And some people use it as a cliche. But guess what? It's true. It's true.
That's
because
a real place.
I had to tell them, listen, somebody loved me and took time with me. I didn't, and most of us can say we had a time in our life where we didn't get it right. It took some, I know it took me several times, and I still have flaws. We all have flaws. But God knows I'm striving for perfection each day that I wake up, you know, and that's what we got to do. That's what we got to do.
Absolutely. And the thing that's perfecting is the maturity. Because, see, he knows that there are things that still have to be corrected, reconnected, realigned. So it's not a place of imperfection that we're actually operating from as sons. We're operating from a place of learning. You know, we're learning, and we're earning through our learning this place that we're coming to. You know, we're learning a thing, and as we're learning, then we're moving into the place that he's calling us to, and the perfection is the maturity. See, a lot of people taught us that perfection meant that you never misstep, that you never miss, you know, misstep. No, you're going to misstep. You don't know you misstep. You don't know the right way until you went the wrong way sometimes.
Oh, God.
Especially if you don't have anybody around you to tell you the right way, anybody around you to reinforce the right way, anything, you know, in your environment that's telling you, okay, you go on the way of your fathers. You know what I'm saying? You never heard that before. The father told the Hebrew children that all the time, the Israelites that all the time, you go on the way of your fathers. So that should have been an indication to them, okay, we need to go the other way, right? But all of us didn't have that this is a familial situation you're dealing with. This addiction is coming from something. There's an addictive nature in your family line. You know what I'm saying? They may not have been strung out on this, but they were strung out on that. You understand?
Yeah.
So when those things come into our attention,
guess what? It didn't even have to mean that they were strung out. Like I said, that this is like a repeat of my conversation last night.
What's
guess what? I was a functional addict.
Yeah.
Kept a job, did everything I had to do, even went to church. But I was a functional addict. But when I got finished doing all the things that I knew I was supposed or had to do at that time, guess what? I went and did as they called me. I went and did me. So
come
I was
on.
A functional addict. But thanks be to God that even being a functional addict, it came to a point that he showed me, wait a minute, that ain't part of what you're supposed to be doing.
Mm-mm.
So I give him the glory for that, you know.
Yes, God. He is good.
And guess what? Functional addicts don't always mean drugs.
That's exactly what I was saying.
So don't get that twisted.
Don't get it twisted.
It don't always mean drugs. And alcohol is a drug. But functional addict doesn't always, it could be shopping, it could be man chasing, woman chaser,
it could be a whole lot of things.
Yes.
Yeah, it could be a whole lot of stuff.
Everybody think addiction is just a drug. No, 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 no.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It could be idolatry of different kinds. You know what I'm saying? That's what all of those things really wind up being, is just different forms of idolatry. You know, a thing that we exalt or put above the Father. You know what I'm saying? That we put before him, you know. But at the end of the day, that's a conversation to have. It doesn't always mean that, you know. But it is a creation of the adversary, and he's not thinking of just doing this one time. He's thinking of perpetuating this. So it's got to have an origin, even if the origin was you. It's got to start somewhere. But 9 times out of 10, by the time they get to us, it's already been through the generations. Because he's looking to find those loopholes, you know, those places where he can get in, and reinforce the stronghold, you know,
where
of the family line. Yeah. Where there's already been an opening, where a path has already been given. You know what I'm saying? The beauty of the Father is that no matter what went before us, whatever forefathers did their wickedness or their evil, I know nobody want to think that their forefathers did wickedness or evil, but the devil's still a liar. There were people that were before us that did their own thing, that were in opposition to the Father. They might have done nice things, and they might have loved you, but that don't mean that they was right with the Father necessarily. There are things that people put in place before us that we are contending with. But here's the beauty of that. There was somebody before them that loved the Father. So even though they hated him and didn't do what he told them to do, somebody before them loved the Father, and the Father is allowing the grace to give us that grace or that mercy to get us to that place where we can hear him and see him and know him and love him and come out of those places of captivity that were set up or established by somebody that, you know, we didn't even know what they was into. We didn't even know what they was doing. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever heard the stories where, you know what, the clear story it is Rumpelstiltskin. Y'all ever heard the story of Rumpelstiltskin? I believe the story went something like this. There was a couple, I believe they were a royal couple, and they couldn't have a baby. And so they couldn't have this baby, and so they began to seek sources or do these things that they should not have been doing to try to have this baby, right? Well, in this process, they come across this witch, I guess it is, and the witch says, you know, well, only way I'm going to help you have a baby is if you get a baby back to me, right? And I'm mixing two stories right now. I could tell that I'm mixing two stories because I heard two separate stories. But when the baby is born, the person or the entity comes back for the baby. And so they set this parameter. They say, well, if you want the baby, you have to guess the baby's name. And then we'll give the baby to you. And so that thing goes off. You can't guess the baby's name because it ain't all knowing. It ain't all seeing, you know. But it comes back in a time. I think it asks questions. It's asking questions around. That's what the adversary does. He's asking questions. He's seeking information. He's looking at the information. He's looking at the chart, the family chart. He's looking for a thing. He's looking for that thing. You know what I mean? And in some dialogue, I don't know whether it was a dialogue that was directly to him or that he overheard it. I believe he overheard this thing. So I talk about the tracers, trackers, and ear hustlers all the time. The enemy overhears his baby's name. He goes back to the royal family and he says, the baby's name is, and he plays it off. Is this? Is that? He says, nope, you only have one more try. And they say, and the thing says, his name is Rumpelstiltskin. Now, no, ain't no way in the world would you ever guess Rumpelstiltskin, right? Because you might guess James, you might guess Jay, Ralph, anything like that. Okay, maybe those would be guesses. But Rumpelstiltskin, come on now. The adversary has been looking and seeking and looking, and some of the things that he knows about you, he overheard. But I'm telling you today that this is a season where the Father's overthrowing everything the enemy heard because you're coming into a new place. You're coming into a new space. And as a son, you are becoming everything that the Father has called you to be. And the adversaries of your soul are not ready for what you've been called to be. You're not coming into this place because you're perfect and you're right, but because you've been chosen. Listen, we love you so much. We appreciate you. Today was Torah, and we'll be back Monday to share some more information and highlights about what the Father's been talking to us about the dark psychology of the 10 spies. We love you. Peace to your house. And the body's not a me thing. It's a we thing. We out of here, y'all.
Love y'all.
Love y'all.
Love y'all. Peace.